So we have a certificate for his dedication today, and we rejoice. Theo, pray for you. Thanks, Brandon and Amy. God bless you both. All of our children can go with Miss Bill and Wanda. Miss Bill, Mr. Bill, and Miss Wanda. Theodore got me all befuddled this morning. You know, here's the thing. When we have babies that are in the womb, Heidi and I spend a lot of time praying for the protection and guidance and health and strength of the child. And so, you know, when those babies come forth, it's a great expression of joy for us and an answer to prayer to see this child. And so I often get emotional to just see God's answer to our prayers and what he's done. And so that was my emotion this morning. Before I get into the message today, I just want to update you on Pastor Dan DeLasso. Many of you will remember he was our interim pastor last summer while I was on sabbatical. He filled in for me while I was away preaching and doing visitation. And I had a chance to talk with him twice over the last 2 weeks and promised that I would share with all of you what's going on in his life and ask for your prayers. When Dan finished filling in for me in the summer, he went to Emmanuel Church here in York, and he was doing an interim for them while they looked for a senior pastor. And as of today, they still have not found another pastor. And so Dan had been filling in for them in the meantime. But unfortunately, Dan came down with debilitating back pain to the point where he could not stand. He can't sit. Even laying sometimes is very painful. He's been to several doctors, and they have not been able to get relief from the pain. And so he's had to resign from preaching and teaching. You all know that that's what Dan is here on this earth to do. He's just had to take time where he can't even stand to deliver a sermon. So he is at home this morning and will be at home until they can find some way to bring relief to his pain. So please put Dan in your prayer journal and covenant to pray for him. We're going to pray for him now and pray for God to bring healing to Dan's body. And we'll also pray for the Holy Spirit to speak to all of our hearts through our sermon this morning. Father God, we think of our brother Dan this morning, and we are grateful for his service of you for many years. God, he loves you. He loves your son. He loves to preach your word. He loves to teach. And so being confined to his home when he knows there are churches that are in need of a pastor that is filled with the Holy Spirit, that believes in the word of God, that it is the inspired and errant word. Lord, I know this is so hard for Dan to stay at home when there are churches that need godly men to speak forth your word in the pulpit. So Lord, we pray you would bring healing to Dan's back, and whatever is causing this, we pray for your divine healing. Lord, the doctors haven't been able to help him, and God, we know that you are more powerful than any of the doctors on this earth. And so we would cry out, Lord, for your hand of healing over, that you might hear our prayer request and grant for our brother the ability to get back doing the service of you, which he so deeply loves to do. Thank you for the impact that he has had upon me, upon our church, upon the many churches where he has led. And Father, be with Judy in this time as so much is put on her shoulders to care for Dan in their home. Give her extra strength in being able to do what is needed in the home. Now, Lord, hear our prayers as we open your word, that you might speak to all of our hearts how we live these Ten Commandments out in our daily life and how we apply them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we are now in week 3 of our Ten Commandments. So today we will cover the third commandment, which is, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. The last 2 weeks we've covered the first two, and so we move on today to the third commandment. Now, a lot of you probably memorize the Ten Commandments if you've committed them to memory based on the old King James. I have the NIV translation and the NASB translations on the screen. They're slightly different in wording, and I'll be explaining a little bit why there's some nuance in the translation as we go through it. But the NIV 1984 translation says the third commandment is this: you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. For the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. The NASB translation says it a little bit differently, and this is probably what the version that most of you would have memorized. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And so they essentially mean the same thing, but a little bit different nuances. And we'll talk about why the translators have made them different. When we were growing up, we all heard the phrase, sticks and stones will break your bones, but words can never hurt you. And we learned very early on, most of us did, in elementary school, that words do hurt. I don't know any person who wasn't picked on, belittled, made fun of through your growing up years, right? It's almost like a rite of passage. Everybody gets picked on at one time or another. Words do matter. This past week, we spent some time thinking about the founding of our nation. And our Constitution starts out with the famous words, "We the people of the United States." If I say the beginning to this next sentence, I'm sure the rest of you can complete it. 47 years ago, our founding fathers, exactly. Words are important. They have incredible power of our lives. So words do matter. And as we think today about the name of the Lord, there is no higher name in the world than that name, the Lord God, the Almighty. And it seems that our culture around us has ignored all of the Ten Commandments for sure. But the third commandment in particular seems to be, at least to me, to my way of thinking, the most abused of all of the Ten Commandments. And so this morning, I want us to look at three particular questions related to this commandment. What does it mean to misuse God's name or to take God's name in vain? What's so significant about God's name that it needs to be protected and honored and revered? And the last part of the third commandment says there comes a punishment with breaking this commandment. What is that punishment that God has in mind? So the NIV translation says, "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord." What does it mean to misuse? It means to lift up, to take, or pronounce. Now, it does not mean, that we cannot say the name of the Lord. The Jewish people in particular believe so strongly in the third commandment that many of my Jewish friends will not even pronounce God's name because God's name is so holy, so almighty, so powerful, they literally will not speak God's name. That's how reverent they hold God's name. In fact, if you go to many Jewish websites, you won't even see God's name spelled out. They'll put like dash, dash, dash when they are referring to God. That's how holy they consider God's name to be. That's how much reverence they take. And so when we say don't misuse the name of the Lord, it means we're not to use it in any way that's going to impugn God's character, that's going to demean his nature. And what name specifically are we talking about? Well, the text in the third commandment says, "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God." And again, we've talked about this several times, but to continue to remind you, when you see capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that is the covenant name of God between God and Israel. That is Yahweh, the four-letter tetragrammaton in Hebrew that is Yod Heh Vav Heh, the four-letter word that's used over 7,000 times in the New Testament to refer to the Lord God. That's who we're talking about here. And it is so highly respected by the Jews, as we mentioned, that many of them will never, ever pronounce his name. I get a daily podcast in Hebrew to just sort of keep my Hebrew skills current, and they're very poor. But the scholar that I hear from every day believes in this. And so when he's going through various translations, he will not speak God's name. He's one of those in that camp, but he's not Jewish. He just understands how holy God's name is, that he substitutes Adonai when he comes to the Lord's name, because that's how reverent, how holy, how much he has been impacted by the third commandment. Well, the NASB, and a lot of you probably learned the Ten Commandments from the King James, says, "Do not take the Lord's name in vain." It means to be empty, to throw it out as nothing, to be worthless, to have no good purpose behind it. The Net Bible, which some of you may own your own copy, have incredible footnotes as part of it. And as part of the footnotes for In Vain, it says this: to take the Lord's name in vain is the prohibition against the name of any idle, frivolous, or insincere purpose. This would include perjury, pagan incantations, or just simply idle talk. The name is to be treated with reverence and respect because it is the name of our holy God. So taking the Lord's name in vain means that we should not use God's name lightly. And I know people who just throw God's name around casually in conversation, just like we use other catchphrases like "in other words" or "you know" or "like." Some people will just tack on to the end of a sentence, "by God." When I was growing up, there was a neighborhood farmer who at the end of every sentence, he would tack on "by God." So he would say, "I'm going to go out and start up the tractor, by God." That's what we're talking about. People throw into their just casual conversation God's name. God's name is not to be taken lightly and just tacked on the end of a sentence to make it just an end. We need to revere God's name and use it reverently. This is also a prohibition against profanity. In fact, when many of us think of the third commandment, we think of don't using God's name profanely. God's name is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We should never be used as curse words. The attributes of profaneness, of cursing, should never be mixed with the holiness of God. In fact, people use God's name wrongly to damn people. We've all heard it. Others take our Savior's name in vain, Jesus Christ, and they use it as a curse word all the time. And if you're like me, every time you hear that, it's like fingernails on a chalkboard, right? Like it just goes through you. And it should. This is the holy name of God. This is also a prohibition for us against using God's name in sorcery. Scripture is very clear about witchcraft and seances and spells and all kinds of other tools that was used in witchcraft to make money by using God's name as part of these rituals and incantations and witchcraft. Commentator P.G. Ryken says this, quote, "In the ancient world, many people believed they could gain access to supernatural power by using divine names and magical incantations. They called upon their gods to heal bodies, to tell the future, and to give them victory in battles. The Egyptians specialized in this kind of thing, but God refuses to be manipulated, so he commanded his people not to use his name for the casting of spells." And then he went on to say, "Let no one be found among you who practices divination or sorcery or interprets omens using God's name," end quote. Fourth, this is a prohibition using God's name in vain against false prophecy. This is a very serious, serious command. God gave to Moses a penalty for those who speak wrongly in God's name. Deuteronomy 18 says, "The prophet who speaks a word presumptuously in my name, which I have commanded him to speak, or which speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die." Now, this is serious, and I want to talk about this for a moment, and please hear my heart. Please hear my heart in this, friends. I hear people all the time say, "God told me to dump, 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 dump." Have you heard that? That's a serious, serious, serious statement. It should never be uttered unless you are 100% convinced and are assured from God's word that God is telling you something. Because to do that, it is to violate what Deuteronomy 18. When you say, "God told me," essentially what you're doing, you're acting like a prophet who said, thus saith the Lord. And so when you say, "God told me to," you better be sure he really told you something. This is a serious, serious offense against God. And let me tell you a true story to punctuate how serious this is. I was in the hospital doing some visitation a few years ago, and there was a patient in the bed, did not know Jesus Christ the Savior. He was unconscious, and I was there primarily to minister to the family. And through the process, this pastor and a few from his church came in and told the wife, God is going to heal your husband. He is going to get up out of this bed and walk out, and he is going to be healed. I'm watching these events unfold and praying desperately that this was not a false prophet, because this family did not know Jesus Christ, and I was there to bring the gospel to them. 2 days later, the guy dies, and the wife is speechless because this pastor promised her that God was going to heal her husband, and he was going to get up out of the bed. What should have happened to that pastor according to the law? He lied. I did the guy's funeral a few days later and tried to help the family. Can you imagine how devastating that is? You're told as an unbeliever God is going to heal you. God spoke, supposedly. And now my husband is in the ground. And to this day, she's still not a believer. And can you blame her? Somebody claimed to speak a word from God. God told me to tell you. Really? Please, church, if you don't get anything else out of this third commandment, be very careful. When you say, God told me, you better be sure God really told you to say that. Because you're in equivalence saying, thus saith the Lord. It's a very, very serious thing to say. Now, God does speak to us. There are times when God gives us messages, and there are times when we need to speak forth boldly those things. But be judicious, friends. You're breaking the third commandment when you say, God told me. Be very careful. And what I'm especially careful to, when God says, God told me to tell you, that's almost always, for me, a 100% indication the person didn't speak for the Lord. Because if God wanted a message for me, don't you think God would come and tell me? Really? So when God supposedly speaks through somebody that says, God told me to tell you, time out. I mean, I've never put limitations upon God, but man, there would have to be some very clear indications that person is speaking as a prophet for God. Be very weary of those. And number five, this is a prohibition against false oaths. Leviticus 19 says, you shall not swear falsely by my name so as to profane the name of the Lord your God, for I am the Lord. Don't take an oath in God's name at all. Don't swear by God. James said this, do not swear by heaven or earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under judgment. Jesus said this, again, you've heard that the ancients were told, you shall not make false vows, but you shall fulfill your vows to the Lord. But I say to you, make no oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is the footstool of his feet, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you make an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black, but let your statement be yes, yes, and your no, no. Anything beyond this is of evil. So in other words, be a man of integrity, be a woman of your word. Simple. If you promise to do something, follow through. And if you can't commit to do something and follow through, then don't do it. Don't add in God's name as part of an oath to indicate your intention to do it. Well, what's so significant then about God's name that it deserves to be protected? Well, God's name is holy. We've said that several times today. Think about the Lord's Prayer. Jesus taught us to pray saying, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed or holy be your name." God's name is holy. Think about in Isaiah chapter 6 in the throne room where Isaiah is permitted just for a very brief period of time to leave this earth and to go into the heavenlies where God is on the throne. And as Isaiah goes in there, he sees the seraphim above the throne crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And when Isaiah hears this great cry of the seraphim, what's Isaiah's response? "Woe is me, for I'm undone." Hearing the holiness, the might, the power, seeing God's presence, Isaiah says, "That's it. It's over for me because I have seen the holiness of God." We should, like those in the throne room that we just looked at, use God's name in praise and worship. Again, the third commandment is not a prohibition of using God's name. It is a commission for us to use God's name rightly. Psalm 29:2 says, "Give to the Lord the glory that's due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness." In fact, we sing here a song often that comes right out of Isaiah chapter 6. "Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty God in three persons, blessed Trinity." We also sang the beautiful song by Paul Balash, "Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nations sing it louder. Nothing has the power to save but your name." The Apostle Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 3, "Whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father through him." And then finally, our third question for the day: what punishment comes from breaking the third commandment? Well, specifically in the Ten Commandments, none are listed. It just says that God will deal with that person. But in Leviticus, a little bit further on down in the Pentateuch, God reveals what will happen to those who misuse his name. It says, "You shall speak to the sons of Israel, saying, if anyone curses his God, then he will bear his sin. Moreover, the one who blasphemes the name of the Lord shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall certainly stone him. The alien as well as the native, when he blasphemes the name, shall be put to death." In the New Testament, in the book of Acts, there's the story of the sons of Sceva. As soon as I say it, you probably are familiar with this. They saw Paul could cast out demons in Jesus' name. They saw that he could heal people in Jesus' name. And so they started doing things, proclaiming things in Jesus' name, but they weren't truly his followers. And what happened along the way, they came across a demon who said, "I know Jesus and I know about Paul, but I don't know you guys." And they all took a terrible beating that day because they misused Jesus' name, not rightly proclaiming it and using it in the way that God has intended. So let's bring this home for application for us. Let's all guard how we use God's name. We talked about very passionately from me, the Lord told me, please be very careful with those things. Please be careful, folks. I hear this all the time, and it really, people say, "Oh my God," all the time. They put the OMG in their Facebook status, and I'm like, ugh. It's a third commandment. People use Jesus' name to curse, and they say, "Oh God," all the time. These are all examples, illustrations of breaking the third commandment. So watch your speech, friends, with using God's name and instead be intentional. I don't want to make this all negative. God's name is beautiful and wonderful and powerful, and we should use it and invoke God's name in a right way that uplifts his holiness and might and majesty. Take the opportunities to talk about the significance of our Jesus to you. Pray using God's names. Call upon Jesus, the Son. Call upon God as the Father. Call upon the Holy Spirit as the Comforter, the Convictor of sin, the one who regenerates and calls us to be born again. Use God's name rightly and reverently as you praise and worship and talk about him in daily life. The Apostle Paul said this in Philippians chapter 2, God exalted him, being Jesus, to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. That's the beautiful, powerful, wonderful name of Jesus. We're also reminded by our Savior himself that not everybody who calls on the name of the Lord is going to be saved. There are people who use God's name in name only. There's no sincerity. There's no underlying belief in their hearts. They've not trusted in Christ. They've not asked God for forgiveness of sins. They've not repented of their sins. They've not genuinely, authentically turned to Jesus. And on that day of judgment, they're going to stand before the Lord and they're going to say, Lord, we prophesied in your name. Remember, the Lord told me, God is going to, that these are the people we're talking about. They're going to stand before Jesus one day. They're going to say, Lord, look at all these things we did for you. And Jesus is going to say, I never knew you. You use my name wrongly. Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? This is not messing around today, friends. This is a serious, serious time. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Is he your Lord? In other words, is he leading? Is he guiding? Is he the Holy One in your life? Do you rightly have him on the throne of your life, that everything in your life points to him? And if it doesn't, then turn to him today. Now's the time for some deep introspection and personal evaluation. Are you a Christian in name only? If you are, then today's the day to turn that around and say, God, I've been kidding myself and you. Do you praise the one true God? I hope so. I pray so. I pray that today has been a soul-searching time for you. And if you have been using God's name wrongly in your life, then now's the time for repentance and turning to God. Now's the time to turn. This can be a beautiful and glorious thing. There's nothing greater than to call upon the name of the Lord and say, oh God, I love you so much. Thank you. The beautiful name of Jesus. The power of the Holy Spirit that draws people to be born again. All of those are beautiful and wonderful. Let's exalt the wonderful name of God. And let's be careful to carve out those things in our lives which are not authentic and from him. Let's pray. Lord, I feel the weight today of such a heavy message. Yet there's nothing more serious in the universe than your name. The name that is holy, holy, holy. God, there are unending numbers of people around us who abuse your beautiful name. And Lord, I confess, I have myself at times wrongly abused. used your name. And realize the graveness of that sin and repent of it and ask for your forgiveness. God, thank you for reminding us of that today. Help each one of us to guard our tongues very carefully, to passionately and freely and lovingly lift up the glorious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. To his name is on our lips that is beautiful and encouraging and uplifting and praiseworthy. God, we want to make much of your name and not let it continue to be maligned by the people around us. Lord, may by the words that we speak and the way we conduct ourselves, may it draw others around us to your great name and to know you personally and rightly. And Father, I just feel such a deep burden for people who have wrongly spoken in your name, saying, God told me. Lord, I pray today that you would convict their hearts of the gravity of that sin and turn from it and make it right for those to which they've spoken outside of your divine guidance and leading. Father, encourage our hearts in the midst of this heaviness, in the midst of thinking through, to not let this be an overwhelmingly negative time. Because God, that certainly was not the goal of today. The goal was to exalt your great name. But I can feel in this room now the weight of seeing some new things for the first time. Repentance and brokenness is always hard for all of us. And so God, hear our prayers as we turn to you.